Persis Karim. The reason I'm here is I have family in Iran. I have been, along with many Iranian Americans, anxious about the possibility of a military confrontation over the last 35, 40 years. And I also feel that this is an unprecedented kind of action that the U.S. has taken. And it's a different world than 10 years ago in terms of all the players. You know, there's Syria, there's Russia, there's China, there's Israel, there's Saudi Arabia. We're facing something that I think could get very out of control very quickly. And since we instigated it, I think the responsibility is on our doorstep. And I think, you know, to be perfectly honest, it's hard not to be cynical that Trump's doing this to distract people from the impeachment that he's facing. And, of course, he's being goaded by lots of other states.
Are you afraid of retaliation? It sounds like that's a concern you have.
Yeah, I'm really concerned. I'm concerned about the atmosphere in this country for Middle Eastern people, because Trump has created an environment where it's quite scary how quickly people can turn on each other. So I'm worried about states retaliating, but I'm also worried about Americans not having the full picture of what's happening and being whipped up with fear and a kind of hatred and racism that I think is already in the climate of this country.
And earlier you used the word we. However, this action was really done by essentially one man, right? Donald Trump made a unilateral decision.
And so what do you think about
the risk he put us in by doing that?
I don't think it was just him. I mean, look at the Congress people who applauded it, you know, all the Republicans. So while his actions appear to be unilateral, I think there's plenty of people who were happy to see this happen, including many, you know, people inside Saudi Arabia and Israel. So it's not, you know, he doesn't act on his own solely. And he had the blessing of the intelligence apparatus, the Pentagon. So I feel that it's disheartening that we are in 2020. We've been through Afghanistan. We've been through Iraq. And those didn't prove to be simple and easy. And I think what we really have to ask ourselves is, what is it doing to our country to be at war over and over again? There's no money for homeless people. There's no money for healthcare, education. And I think we have to make that link again and again, that our resources are being drained by these endless wars. Not to mention the reality of what the Middle East has been dealing with. And I don't want to lose sight of that.
So what needs to happen now to fix, if you can even use that word, that situation, or address it peacefully?
Well, I think the problem is that we have to build movements that can outlive events. And that's very difficult to do when you're, you know, every other day there's some hysteria that Donald Trump has created. And he's eroding a lot of our institutional infrastructure. So I think we have to deal with the battle at home, which is to elect responsible leaders who understand the Constitution and the importance of using domestic resources for our own country and not importing a death culture everywhere else, including that comes back to visit us.
And finally, you said you had roots in Iran?
Yes, I'm. My father was an immigrant from Iran. So.
And do you have family that's there now still?
Yes.
Have you been in touch?
No, I haven't been able to reach them. And now people are a little bit afraid to talk on the phone. And also, I think in general, there's a lot of despair in Iran because they just recovered from a terrible, terrible tragedy of people being murdered by their own country, you know? So, you know, I can't imagine what people are feeling there, the kind of trepidation and anxiety after everything they've already been through with sanctions. And people can't come here, you know. 40 years ago when the Iran-Iraq war was going on, people could leave, but the doors are shutting around them. And the same thing happened in Syria and Iraq. And I think that's the accounting I want to see, is that, like, we create these horrible conditions for people that make them think they can come here. And we never sort of see our role in creating unrest and political chaos. And that breaks my heart as an American.
My name's Donna Farvard. I'm the organizing director for the National Iranian American Council. And I think it's really important that people show up to these demonstrations across the country today, because we really need to show Congress and the White House that the public wants to end endless wars. We don't want another war in the Middle East. And this action of assassinating one of Iran's top military leaders is unpopular, and that the American public sees it and doesn't want it, and sees it for what it is, which is just another act of war, and aren't going to sit around and allow another endless war in the Middle East to happen on our watch. And really, at the end of the day, you know, even if the White House isn't listening, we need Congress to really play their checks and balances and put a stop to Trump's path to war. Congress won't take action unless they're listening to people, and the best way for us to get our voices heard is to actually show up in the streets and show that we're serious about this.
And what fears do you have, or worries, for Iranian Americans or people maybe across the world in this moment where it's very turbulent for sure?
So I'm a daughter of Iranian immigrants. I still have a lot of family in Iran. And I've seen for the past couple of years now them suffer under the economic warfare that has been brought by U.S. sanctions. So I've been constantly worried about whether or not they have proper access to food or medicine. Now I'm worried about whether or not they're going to be affected by military conflict, whether or not they're safe. And this is not just a feeling that I have. This is a feeling that a lot of folks in the Iranian diaspora, not just in the United States, but all across the world, are feeling right now. It's a feeling of anxiety and fear, but also a feeling of needing to do something. So I think that's why a lot of people are mobilizing today, for instance, and calling on their members of Congress. And I think the other fear that some folks have is, how does that affect our civil rights here in the United States? So we've already seen the LAPD tweet the other day an insinuation that the largest Iranian diaspora in LA is a threat to folks who live in Los Angeles. And this rhetoric is extremely dangerous, not only because it leads to a slippery slope of bad policy that over-criminalizes and over-polices communities of color, it also is rhetoric that takes rise to hate crimes against our communities. So we're seeing not only a fear of our families back in Iran, but also just for our own community here in the U.S.
And what have you thought about Donald Trump's justification for his action of taking out basically the second top official in Iran?
I think that his justification is just to have the same 2002 war playbook that President Bush used. We know that this was not some preemptive strike to prevent an imminent threat, because Donald Trump was bragging about the strike prior to it at Mar-a-Lago. Someone's not going to brag about a strike when there's an imminent threat. So we're seeing the same war playbook used right before the Iraq war today, right before a re-election campaign yet again, with some of the same quote-unquote Middle East experts that, you know, fooled the American public into thinking that there was a credible threat in the lead up to the Iraq war. So I don't think much about his justifications for assassinating a top military official of another foreign country.
And what worries do you have about retaliation in this country?
U.S. out now.
You mean Iran onset? Yeah. I don't fear direct strikes here in the U.S. What I fear most is a constant military tit-for-tat in the Middle East. The U.S. has a lot of military assets in the Middle East, and we've already been seeing an escalatory military tit-for-tat after Trump pulled out of the Iran nuclear agreement, because of the pressure of sanctions, his maximum pressure campaign, we've already seen the U.S. and their proxies and Iran and their proxies having increased escalation in the region. So I'm worried that this this pattern is just going to escalate in of itself.
And we know 3,000 troops are being deployed right now as we speak. The U.S. men's soccer team is no longer training in Qatar. What hope do we have for going forward that we might find a solution?
I think the best hope is Congress. So really, at the end of the day, Congress has to approve a war, another war. But Trump and his war hawks in the White House think that they have loopholes that they can get through to continue doing things like deploying troops and continuing drone strikes without congressional approval, as we've seen in the past couple of days. So I think the number one thing that we need to see is Congress passing new legislation that clarifies that Trump does not have the authorization for continued military strikes when it comes to Iran. There's already been legislation introduced by a number of members of Congress. Senator Bernie Sanders and Congressman Ro Khanna in particular have introduced legislation. So we need to make sure that our leaders in Congress are pushing forward these bills and push for immediate votes and action so that way we can put a stop right away. We can't wait for action.
Right, because the strikes are continuously happening right now, even without war being authorized.
Yes, exactly.
So then how do we get these troops back home then?
I think that's the million-dollar question that I don't even think I know the answer to. But I do believe in popular movements. And I think if enough people continue to show that they want our troops home, that we don't want continued wars in the Middle East, that we can put pressure on our legislators, on the people who are supposed to govern on our behalf, to slowly start to change the sentiment of the U.S. Congress in particular, but also just the U.S. war machine in general. So I think I have faith in the people, and I think the best thing that we can do is to continue to raise our voices like we're doing today.
My name is Gloria Archuleta, and I'm also with the San Francisco Bernie-crats, and I think it's important to be here today because we don't need another war, and I honestly believe that Trump attacked or did order this assassination only to detract from his impeachment. What if somebody would have attacked Pompeo, assassinated Pompeo or Bush or Cheney or any of the war criminals we've created? It's not right. And the Iranians are beautiful people. They don't deserve this. You know, they're just as much pawns as American people. We have these dictators in office that they may do things on this level, but it's not their kids that, you know, have to endure the bloodshed. And there's going to be millions of innocent Iranians killed if this goes forward. It's just so stupid and so senseless. And I'm also for Bernie, the only candidate that has spoken out against this violence and against war and has consistently voted against more funding for the war and voted against the war in Iraq. So that's why I'm here.
Awesome. One or two questions for so 3,000 troops are being sent to the Middle East right now as we speak. The U.S. soccer team can no longer go to Qatar for training. We're already seeing some impact. Are you afraid of retaliation?
Absolutely, I'm afraid of retaliation. And as a person of color and a Native American, I have a history of my people being sent to war, and I currently have family members that are serving in the Air Force, in the Army, in the Marines. Do I have any in the Navy? Oh, I have one cousin in the Navy. So, you know, this absolutely affects my family as well. I want the troops home. I want my family members safe. Or if my family members go to war, I want that to be for a valid cause.
And not that he would listen, but what message would you want to send to Donald Trump?
He won't listen. I would say that you're going to hell, you worthless bastard, because he only cares about himself. He won't listen, so why?
Anything else?
Thank you for covering this, because these kind of issues need exposure, and vote for Bernie.
Thank you.